The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Priscilla Lynch, clinical editor of the Medical Independent. I'm going to start with you, please. And level two that the entire country has been placed under. Before we even get to the variations for Dublin, what does this level two entail and mean to everyone listening?
I suppose it means that life as it is now is going to set to continue if we remain in level two. So the restrictions that are in place currently are level two, and that's the situation that we're in.
And remind us what's in those at present.
So I suppose there's limitations on the amount of people that we can have indoors. So that's six people indoors and up to 15 people outdoors. Specifically for the majority of the country, the six people indoors can be from up to three other households. We know that there's restrictions on the amount of people that can attend weddings, religious ceremonies, and obviously travel outside the country as well. And that working from home is still recommended. So they're kind of the main restrictions that are in place.
Okay. What's in level three?
Well, level three, visitors from only one other household can be made to people, and no social family gatherings should take place in other settings. And for weddings, which is currently at 50 guests, that would move down to 25 guests. There's other then restrictions then in relation to gatherings of people for exercise and sport. So there's five different levels. Level one is the lightest level. There's still restrictions in place, and that will continue for the next up to nine months, as I've said, and then obviously up to level five. So each level has its own particular restrictions, whether that's social restrictions, working restrictions, sports, indoor venues, gyms, leisure facilities, etc.
And then why is it we're in a situation whereby we have Dublin somewhere in between level two and level three, level two and a half, or level two and a bit? What's going on there?
So yeah, there was a bit of confusion today about the fact that case numbers are higher in Dublin and have been growing there for a number of weeks, and had thought, were they going to be level three? So the government said that Dublin remains level two, but that it does have some additional restrictions. So people in Dublin can still have up to six visitors to their house. But they have to be from just one other household. They've been advised as well not to travel outside the county, but that's not been made mandatory. And wet pubs are going to remain closed in Dublin while they're going to be reopening in the rest of the country on the 21st. So those are the main extra restrictions that are going to be applied to Dublin. And that's still within level two, the government have said. So there was a bit of criticism there about that. But it is, if you look at the roadmap, the restrictions that are being applied to Dublin are still within what's outlined as level two restrictions.
Daniel McConnell, what's the thinking there in political circles in relation to this? Because having set out levels one to five, has it caused some confusion having a press conference to say, well, Dublin's level two, but it's not really because it's two and a bit, even if it's not three?
Yeah, it's the overriding issue, Matt, coming out of the press conference. I mean, the whole purpose of this plan was to bring clarity and certainty to the people of Ireland, and they've started off by confusing the position even more. And I think the government has rightly been criticised in the Dáil Chamber during leaders' questions and on other questions this afternoon about that particular lack of clarity. It tells me very clearly that there's been a sort of a tug of war going on behind the scenes as to what to do with Dublin. Clearly, there's been a body of opinion that it should have been moved to level three, but that has been resisted by some of the Dublin TDs to try and keep it as low and as open as possible.
Yeah, but how close are we to that? Because this is something that I brought up with Stephen Donnelly, as you'll be able to hear after 5 o'clock. The possibility after NPHET meets on Thursday that there will be a recommendation, strong one, to Dublin to go to level three, and that might happen next week.
It's very clear that that is very likely, and certainly sources I've been talking to from within the cabinet and elsewhere have made it very clear that, you know, it is the expectation that after NPHET meets on Thursday that Dublin will move to level three. The thing that raises a question, well, why not just do it now? When NPHET have been kind of ringing this bell since last Thursday, again, a couple of ministers speaking to me today have raised concern that, like, government were given a very clear recommendation last Thursday and have waited 5 days to move on that, and 600 additional people in the capital have come down with COVID. So, you know, they're playing with sort of live ammunition by delaying. So I would think that if NPHET do make another recommendation this Thursday, it would be incumbent on that government to not necessarily wait again, but to move on that pretty quickly. So the guidance I've been getting all morning has, there was an expectation that they could have gone to level three at a cabinet this morning. They clearly haven't. But, you know, it's certainly looming there in the background.
But that would be a significant change, wouldn't it? To go to level three would mean significant big differences, or would it?
It would. No, it certainly would. And that was a point emphasised by Taoiseach Micheál Martin and Health Minister Stephen Donnelly at the press conference earlier on, that, you know, some people are suggesting that it's just a minor step forward. Like, there would be a significant increase in the level of restrictions, not just in terms of, you know, restaurants and cafes and stuff like that, but also just in terms of visiting relatives in hospitals or nursing homes, in terms of your own social movements and moving around the county, etc. Like that, you'd be essentially asked to remain within the boundaries of the county. Working from home, you know, rather than it just being advisable to stay home where possible, there'd be kind of a much higher threshold that you'd have to read in case you needed to go into the office. So across the board, there'd be a much higher level of restriction.
And sports fixtures as well, because there is now somewhat of a relaxation that level two allows crowds of up to 200 in a stadium that can hold 5,000. Not clear what would happen in a stadium over 5,000, but if you was level three, that would mean things like Croke Park and Lansdowne Road wouldn't be able to host games, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and this is obviously has longer term implications. You know, if Dublin does move to a level three scenario at any stage, and, you know, obviously there's a clear desire from the government and from the GAA to obviously get the GAA championship running in some shape or form towards the back end of this year. But if Dublin's at level three, it makes the use of the likes of even Pro Park or even smaller grounds, you know, very troublesome.
I just started thinking, Daniel, even this weekend's Leinster Saracens quarterfinal of the Champions Cup wouldn't be able to go ahead if Dublin was to go to level three before the end of the week.
Absolutely. No, I mean, the guidance I've been given is that they might wait until early next week, let the weekend numbers flush out and see what happens. But I mean, like, you've got, I mean, there's definitely a consideration or definitely a bit of concern being raised by some in government that they've allowed the situation in Dublin get out of control, and that, you know, that even now they're still moving too slowly, that this debate shouldn't have been happened, that they should have taken a more assertive route down on this. But there clearly is that level of resistance, that political level, and even this move to create this oversight body, kind of a buffer between NPHET and the government, is a clear indication that the government wants to free itself from the cover of NPHET to a certain degree on when it's making its key decisions in the weeks and months ahead.
Okay, I want to bring in Donal O'Keefe from the Licensed Fitness Association. Your members' reaction to the decision to have one county in Ireland where pubs are not allowed to reopen next Monday, the pubs that are not serving food.
Well, I think you can guess what that reaction would be, Matt. It's fear, it's anger, it's stress, it's confusion. As late as Tuesday of last week, we had the Cabinet confirm that all pubs in Ireland, including Dublin, would reopen. We also, pretty importantly, had the government confirm that wet pubs would not be singled out any further, and that any other restrictions would be applied to the wider hospitality sector. And then this morning we have the devastating announcement that pubs in Dublin, which have already been closed for 189 days, are to remain closed for another 3 weeks. It appears to us that the government's grand plan for dealing with the rising infection rates in Dublin, which these businesses had nothing to do with because they've been closed for so long, that the grand plan is to keep businesses closed that already have been closed for six months, to keep them closed further.
But isn't it logical that on a public health ground that the reopening of the pubs could make a bad situation worse, and it's not therefore worth taking the risk?
I think the response to that, Matt, is that 3,500 pubs that serve food across Ireland have been open since the 29th of June, a couple of thousand restaurants and cafes, 1,000 hotels, and thankfully the hospitality sector has not been a source of particular problems. We have seen in other work settings, particularly construction sites, meat factories and indeed direct provision centres, that there have been severe issues. And in that scenario, the individual businesses and the individual locations concerned are closed down and the public health risk is managed. But the sector, the national sector, is allowed to trade. We've always felt that this is an arbitrary, unfair distinction between wet pubs and food pubs, and between wet pubs and the wider hospitality sector. And our view is that all hospitality businesses should face the same restrictions, have the same Garda enforcement, and have the same opportunity to trade.
But then what about the danger that you could see next week that all pubs in Dublin, whether they're serving food or not, will have to close while the rest of the country remains open?
But if that's driven by public health advice that impacts the whole hospitality sector, we would follow the public health advice. What we don't understand and what we don't accept is that wet pubs are proposing a unique risk following 189 days of closure, and that accordingly they shouldn't be allowed to open. We saw this morning the new FALTIA Ireland guidelines for wet pubs essentially being the same as every other hospitality business. So, you know, the risk in the hospitality sector is the same, we think, and accordingly we believe these pubs should have been open long ago it really was a huge missed opportunity back in July when infection rates were in the low 20s and the virus situation was stable right across the country, that they didn't reopen the wet pubs then.
Okay, thank you very much, Donal O'Keefe. Priscilla Lynch, clinical editor of the Medical Independent. Is there evidence to suggest that the pubs heighten the risk of the transfer of the infection?
There certainly is from international studies, particularly in, if you look at parts of Asia as well. Pubs and particularly nightclubs and music venues have been associated with increased cases and the spread of the virus. So that's one of the reasons they're quite nervous as well, just about reopening them here. But obviously there would be a lot of restrictions put in place for wet pubs, as has been outlined. But I think as well, it's just the culmination of a lot of things this month as well. Schools just being back, colleges actually coming back as well. And if they were, you know, students were coming back at the same time as wet pubs reopening, one of the guidelines, there's just fears that could spark an increase in cases. And some of the main guidelines from the World Health Organization have been, when you are reopening the economy and the country, to do it in a phased manner and not to open too many things at the same time that could create an increase in cases. So NPHET did advise the government to try and hold back a few weeks from reopening wet pubs in Dublin. So as it stands, Dublin is in level 2, an enhanced level 2 with some minor restrictions. As Daniel pointed out, moving it to level 3 would have meant quite a whole host of extra restrictions, even the amount of people who could attend weddings, attend funerals, and obviously the closure of restaurants and those pubs that do serve food. So there is a lot of considerations. They are looking at trying to get a grip on the virus in Dublin in other measures as well, by increasing access to testing for people. And I suppose there's one thing as well that they've pointed out, that, you know, there's a lot of individual responsibility here with people travelling to other households. And this month, and obviously next month, there seems to be a lot of communions and confirmations that had been delayed are happening again, and people are meeting in those settings, in family settings, extended family, and that this is seen, not specifically those type of events, but people meeting in those kind of settings are seen as a risk factor. So trying to restrict the amount of people that people can meet from other households is seen as kind of key in the next few weeks, okay, trying to reduce the spread of the virus.
Brief last question to you, Priscilla, before I go back to Daniel McConnell to finish this part. The issue of testing, was there enough reassurance given this morning about the amount of testing and the speed which results can come back?
Yeah, there was some criticism that they were quite vague in government circles about that. But if you look at the plan itself, it's a 60-page plan, and if you do go through it, there is a section dedicated to testing and tracing, and it does outline that they will be increasing the capacity of testing. The testing service is going to employ 3,000 people, a full-time workforce there, and that they're recruiting over 700 people to take swabs and over 500 contact tracing staff. And these roles will be available all around the country. They're also going to make it easier for people to get a test. They want to have a test centre in every county with increased swabs capacity, longer working hours, over 7 days a week as well, and that everybody will be able to get to a test centre within an hour, because some people at the moment have to travel an hour and a half to get to test centres. So they're going to have pop-up test centres as well. So some of this, these actions are already in play, but they're just outlining what they're actually going to do, okay, in the coming months and the support they'll give. So they are beefing up our testing capacity, essentially.
Very briefly, to finish with you, Daniel McConnell, political editor of the Irish Examiner. Fianna Fáil leader and Taoiseach Micheál Martin is a man under enormous pressure internally. Did he do himself any good with the performance at the press conference this morning?
No, Matt, he didn't quite. And quite honestly, I thought a lot of us watching it came away from it rather underwhelmed. This was his great opportunity to stamp his authority and over the narrative of this government. And when you're walking away with more questions than answers, then you know you haven't succeeded in selling your message. He stumbled on his phraseology at a couple of times. His speech was not very coherent, and there were, like, even some of the basics of what's in the plan didn't come up at the press conference at all, or wasn't raised by any of the three speakers, Micheál Martin, Leo Varadkar, or Stephen Donnelly. So that was a failure of messaging. But again, at a time when his former deputy leader Eamon O'Keefe was out calling for a new leader of the party, and his party are at 10% in the polls, a record low, he needs a break and he needs a win, and this was a golden opportunity for him to get a win, and it looks like he's allowed that opportunity to go past him.
Daniel McConnell, political editor of the Irish Examiner, thank you. We are now joined by the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme, Minister. The first thing I want to ask you about is the subject of clarity, which was a word used a number of times by Taoiseach Micheál Martin today. So how clear do you think things are when you have a new level 1 to level 5 system, and then it turns out that Dublin is neither on level 2 nor level 3? It's sort of level 2 and a bit.
Hi, Matt. So the feedback we're getting from people is that having the 5 levels is very useful, and seeing what level each of our counties is in is very useful, seeing how many people we can have over to our house, how many people we can meet up with, sports, the arts, and so forth, is useful, because ultimately this is a roadmap about keeping the country open. So we've lived with COVID in Ireland now for about 6 months. And if that was chapter one, it was about closing the country down to flatten the curve. And we all did that together and it worked. The roadmap we've published today is about the next 6 to 9 months, which is chapter two. And this is different. This is about keeping the country open. And to keep the country open, we got to suppress the virus where we know it spreads. And so what the public health doctors have done with the experts in virology and infectious diseases is they've given us five levels, and it's a totality of measures in each of those five levels that says, if we do the following things, if we reduce these interactions where this virus spreads, then we can get on with our lives, we can live our lives, we can protect jobs, we can keep the hospitals open, keep the schools open. And my sense is that is broadly being welcomed. We have been steered well by the public health doctors so far in this fight against COVID, and I believe we're being steered well by them now.
But if that all makes sense, Minister, address the question that I put to you. If you have the various counties are going to be at various levels, you announced today that the entire country is at level two, except there's a little bit of a difference for Dublin. It's got additions to level two, but it's not at level three. Does that not immediately call your five-level approach into some sort of disrepute?
The question, I guess, Matt, is whether or not we continue to listen to the public health doctors, or whether we say, right, we have our five levels, and we're going to be in, we'll all be in one of these five levels, but we're not going to listen to the public health doctors anymore because we have our levels. So what's happening? Today, the country is in level two. Every country is, every county is in level two. And what the public health doctors have said to us is things in Dublin are very serious. The situation is deteriorating. The 14-day average cases for the country is now up to about 50, but for Dublin, it's nearly twice that. And so what the public health doctors are doing is they're saying to us, Dublin is in level two, but they're trying to send a very clear message to the people of Dublin, which the people of Dublin are hearing, and I think very much welcome, to say, look, let's do everything we can within level two.
But why not put it at level three?
It's to avoid moving to level three.
But so hold on a second. Example, you see, in fairness, because earlier today it wasn't explained to us in the press conference by either Micheál Martin or yourself as to what the measures, the additional measures for Dublin are. They were sort of hinted at. But can you just explain to us now what they are?
I can, Matt, yeah. So level two, the number of visitors we can have to our home or garden is no more than six. And it's from between one, two, and three other households. And what the public health doctors are saying is, for Dublin, please just keep that to one other household. So it is within level two, but they're saying, look, just please keep it to one other household. They're also saying, while there are no travel restrictions for any counties, what they're saying to people in Dublin is, look, we all know that the situation is deteriorating. Nobody wants to move to level three. So if you can stay within the county, if there are discretionary trips that you could put off for a while, we would advise putting that off. And then there was just one other piece, which was around spectators at outdoor events. There's a criteria whereby in large stadiums that could go up to 200. And the public health doctors are saying, look, we know that not what happens during the events, but people getting together beforehand, people getting together afterwards. We know that's a spread of the virus. We know that's happening in Dublin. So again, it's still level two, but the advice is just don't do that. I have to say, Matt, I think that's quite welcome. I think it's very sensible. We're at level two. Level two with advice. And I think we have been advised very well to date. And I think people in Dublin welcome that advice. Look, everyone in Dublin knows, everyone listening to your show right now knows that the virus is spreading across the country and that in Dublin there is a particular issue. And the public health doctors, I think quite rightly, are flagging that and saying we need to be extra careful.
Sorry, what is this particular issue
right now?
Because at present we have, in the last week or so, just over 1,500 new cases of COVID-19 confirmed. But of all those cases, how many of those actually are asymptomatic How many are requiring hospitalisation? How many require going to the ICU, roughly?
So we've had, in the last 14 days, Matt, we've had just under 2,400 cases, 2,383, and about just over half of those in Dublin, so 1,282 in Dublin. Of the people who are being tested and who are testing positive, 80%, so 4 in 5, are symptomatic. So there is a clear link there. And I think you've asked a really important question, Matt, which is around hospitalisation. Because some people are saying, look, the cases may be going up, but it's a bit of a cod because people aren't getting sick. And actually, exactly what NPHET predicted would happen. They saw it happen in Florida. They've seen it happen around the world. We saw it begin to happen in Kildare. Is happening now. So 2 weeks ago, there were 15 hospitalizations with COVID. A week ago, there were 30, so it doubled in that week. There's now 60. So again, it's doubled in the last week. And so what the public health doctors are saying and the people who model this are saying is, if this keeps doubling every week, we will very, very quickly, or sorry, I beg your pardon, it's doubled every 2 weeks. If this keeps doubling every 2 weeks, we will very, very quickly be in a situation where our healthcare services are at risk again. And really, if we come back to the roadmap, it's exactly why we have the roadmap now. It's to say,
but
we're
Minister,
at level two.
Yeah, but you say the health services will not be able to cope. Have you not had 6 months to prepare the health services to be able to cope? Because if you get to a level five situation again, which is not complete shutdown, but which is close enough to it, even if you go to level three or level four, the damage to the economy is such, where will you have the money to pay for these things? And what sort of damage will be done to other healthcare and also to the mental health of people in our society?
The biggest problem that COVID causes to our healthcare system and to every healthcare system around the world is not actually the surge capacity, because as you rightly say, a lot of work has been done to make sure that surge capacity is in place. The biggest issue is the reduction in the ability to provide healthcare services that COVID causes. So there are parts of our system, for example, that can now see half the number of patients they could. So essentially, it's taking longer. And it's costing more money to see people. One of the things I secured in government this morning was funding for a new winter plan. So we have government agreement on €600 million. It's a substantial amount of money.
Is that going to be anywhere near enough?
It's a substantial amount. It's about 20 times more than last year. However, there is no doubt, Matt, that the impact of COVID on our healthcare system and the fact we're moving into winter presents probably the biggest challenge to our healthcare system in living memory. So we have secured a lot of money. We've been working very hard with the HSE to figure out where to deploy that money to keep people safe. But we should not underestimate the challenge this winter. It will be unlike anything we have ever faced.
Okay, there was something else that came up this morning. You've had months to prepare this particular plan, but when you were asked about foreign travel, it seemed that you're still weeks away from actually making a determination and that it will be driven by European Commission proposals. Given the crisis the aviation industry in particular is facing at present, could you not give people an absolute situation as regards foreign travel as from now?
We can, yes. And what was decided in government this morning was that we will progress towards the proposal of the European Commission. Remember, that proposal is still in draft form and it's being debated amongst member states. So I had a meeting with the other health ministers of the EU a few days ago, and there are various views of that proposal from the Commission. So we are looking at progressing in line with the rest of the EU. In the meantime, we will be updating our own green list and changing the... So NPHET are going to look at that this week with a view to it being updated early next week. And so countries like Norway and Germany will be on it. Essentially, Matt, it will be EU countries who have a prevalence rate of less than 25 per 100,000. The other big change that we agreed today was that the blanket advice on non-essential foreign travel will not apply to this to these green list countries. So we are working with the European Commission and we are doing what we can here in the meantime as we progress towards that.
There's also been speculation that NEFET, which is meeting on Thursday, is going to recommend that Dublin goes to level three from next week. Is there any truth to that?
NEFET will be meeting on Thursday, as it always does, and one of the issues it will be looking at is Dublin. The situation in Dublin is
deteriorating. So there is a possibility that we could be going to Dublin level three next week?
There is. We need to wait to see what NEFET says, but NEFET may recommend that Dublin stay at level two. They may recommend something else. They have already recommended, and we have agreed in government today, that the wet pubs would stay closed in Dublin after September 21st. And I know that is going to come as an awful blow to the sector in Dublin. The view, though, is the situation in Dublin is at a point whereby reopening the wet pubs now, the belief from the public health doctors could accelerate a deteriorating situation. And what we all need to do now is stabilise the situation in Dublin, try to do everything we can to avoid it moving to the next level. And then with Dublin, along with the rest of the country, follow the public health doctors' guidelines. They have steered us well. And let's get back down to level one where we can all live our lives to the fullest extent possible.
But Minister Stephen Donnelly, is NEFET's influence going to be somewhat reduced by another announcement made by the Taoiseach today about a different body now been turned to for advice as to what the government should do?
The process to date really has been NEFET writes a letter to the Minister for Health, Simon Harris, and now myself, and that is brought to government. I think there's quite a sensible look at this to say we need to consider the country in the round, right? So public health trumps everything. So the roadmap, first and foremost, is about protecting and saving lives. So public health leads on everything. However, we must be very cognizant of the fact that we have to run our economy, and there are lots of other parts to our country as well. And so the view here is that we can get rounded advice, which we can discuss at a governmental level. So it's a positive
and who's
step.
Who's going to be on that group?
Well, it'll be chaired by the Secretary General of the Department of the Taoiseach, who's the Secretary to Cabinet, and there will be other people, obviously.
Who are the others? I mean, doesn't transparency suggest that it should be a mix of people from the private sector as well as the public sector to give a broad range of advice?
Certainly at an expert advisory level, yes, and that's how NEFET works. It's exactly how I've set up the nursing home implementation group, for example. For the actual secretariat, typically that would be public sector workers, senior civil servants and others, the chief medical officer and others. But I think it is absolutely essential that we are listening to public sector, private sector, civil society, the voluntary sector, because the reality is this is not just about public health. I mean, obviously, it's led by public health, and first and foremost, this is a pandemic.
A couple of things to finish.
It touches every part of our society and our economy.
A couple of things to finish with Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly. At one stage today, Taoiseach Micheál Martin was asked a question, and he said, well, it'd be better to put that to the Chief Medical Officer, or rather the Acting Chief Medical Officer, Ronan Glynn. He wasn't on the stage to answer the question. That's the first time I think any of us can remember the Chief Medical Officer or Acting Chief Medical Officer not being there alongside the Taoiseach and Minister for Health for such a major announcement. Why wasn't he there today?
He was giving a technical briefing to some of your colleagues in the media. It's essential, obviously, Matt, that this plan is communicated well, and to a very large extent we rely on you. We rely on the people you work with. We rely on the good men and women in the Fourth Estate to carry this message to the Irish people, and we wanted to make sure that your colleagues had full access to not just politicians, but to the chief medical officer or the acting chief medical officer, because, you know, we can all look at pieces of this plan and say, well, I don't like this bit, or, you know, I think this should be 60 people rather than 50 people. We'll all have opinions. I have opinions. You'll have opinions. Every one of your listeners will have an opinion. But ultimately, what we have here is a set of measures designed by public health doctors in consultation with infectious disease experts. And what we want to make sure is that the message gets out to the Irish people today that says this is the right way to travel. We have been well advised by our public health doctors for the past 6 months. We will be well advised for the next 6 months. And it was very important to me and to government that the journalists and the media had full access to the chief medical officer for any and all technical queries they had.
Well, I suppose a lot of people would say that could have been done separately at a time when that press conference was ongoing. There's one other thing from it I want to ask you about to finish with, Minister for Health Stephen Donnelly, and that's Christmas, because a lot of immigrants are wondering, will they be allowed to travel home from foreign countries for the season? People are wondering, will they be able to move around Ireland to visit family and friends? Will there be restrictions on who can go to a Christmas dinner, even the grandparents? Are Christmas work parties a no-no? Are there going to be restrictions on the numbers who can attend religious ceremonies? These are all things that people think about because Christmas is so important, a part of Irish tradition. And yet the Taoiseach said, we didn't discuss Christmas. If this is a 6 to 9 month plan, and given that Christmas is only 3.5 months away, how could you not have discussed Christmas?
You're so right. So people want to be able to know what they can do about Christmas. They want to know if they can come home. They want to know if they can come home anytime to visit friends, visit family. Maybe you've got a sick relative. Maybe you've been invited to a wedding in Wicklow, in my own county, you know, in 2 months' time. Well, will you be able to go? Should you have your own wedding? How many people can you have at it? All of these are the questions that everybody has. And that's why we have the roadmap. And it's why we're lining up with the EU Commission as well, because that's exactly what this roadmap does. It says, look, we are dealing with a deadly and vicious virus. We know that it can spike very quickly in individual counties. We're seeing it on the rise all over Europe. But then we're also seeing, as the people of Kildare, Laois and Offaly showed us, that local measures applied quickly can work really well once we all buy into them.
Why didn't you discuss Christmas?
I'm answering the question, Matt, which is what this roadmap does is it allows us closer to Christmas or closer
to
when you want
Christmas?
To come home or closer to your wedding to say
to cancel
this is where
Christmas?
We're going to be.
Is that what we're facing?
What are the measures that are in place for this county? I don't think anyone listening, Matt, would expect you or me or the chief medical officer or anybody else to be able to predict what level the virus is going to be at in any given county on the 25th of December. I don't think anyone realistically expects us to be able to do that. We all know that's not possible. But the closest we can get is to say, here is a set of five levels that will give us a good indication closer to the date what it is likely to be. And that, unfortunately, is the reality. We're dealing with a global pandemic. You know, we're dealing with a very serious situation, and the roadmap is part of how we're going to navigate that in the next 6 months.
Thank you very much, Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.